This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Super Bowl will be between the Kansas City Chiefs, who took down the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday with a walk-off Harrison Butker field goal, 23-20. They'll take on the Philadelphia Eagles, who beat the San Francisco 49ers senseless. Once Brock Purdy was out of that game, they had no chance. The 49ers did. 28-7, the final score of that game. And the news today that we are waiting to be announced is whether or not DeMeco Ryans will be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. The report from this morning from Ian Rappaport was as follows. The Texans and 49ers defensive coordinator DeMeco Ryans could meet as soon as this afternoon after he handles his San Francisco responsibilities. If all goes well, a hire could be finalized Tuesday or Wednesday, sources say. Their top candidate all along, it appears a homecoming, is on its way to Houston. Should they pull off the hiring of DeMeco Ryans, you will go from feeling blank to blank. I've said that I'll go from feeling about the Texans to about the Houston Texans. That doesn't mean that I think DeMeco Ryans will succeed or not succeed. Honestly, who's to really say? All you know is that he's a young, exciting defensive coordinator who clearly has done a great job with that San Francisco defense over the last couple of years. A defense that does have talent. There's Fred Warner. There's Nick Bosa. But as far as the candidates that are available right now, I don't think anyone shines more brightly, and I would include Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon, who is out. He basically took his name out of the running in a post-game interview. Eagles offensive coordinator Shane Steichen. Giants offensive coordinator Mike Kafka. DeMeco Ryans, of all the candidates right now, and including Frank Reich hired in Carolina, is the most sexy candidate available. And if they get him in, I understand any excitement that you guys might have.
I do feel like he is probably the safest, like as far as like, I know that they will at least have a good defense because DeMeco Ryans is here. I feel very confident in that because if they kept Lovey and just, I know they wouldn't have done this, but just hired DeMeco Ryans as the defensive coordinator, I'd be like, hell yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know about that.
Really?
I don't know if I'd go that far as to say that the defense will definitively be good. I thought that with Lovie Smith as defensive coordinator,
Lovie Smith
slash head coach,
95-year-old man,
still
running an outdated defense.
I thought they would be better than they were this year. They sucked. They were not good at all. They couldn't stop the run. They were getting pushed around at the line of scrimmage, and I know that they don't have that much talent, but I don't think it's as simple as DeMeco Ryans shows up and this defense is good. I don't think that.
I just trust the scheme better than the cover
Fair
two.
Enough. Fair enough.
Which was figured out in 2005.
You are right on that front. He was so married to that one scheme, and it didn't even feel like he was playing that scheme to his young corner Derek Stingley's strengths. So there's some reasons to get ticked off with Lovie Smith. I don't think that DeMeco Ryans takes over, though, and that the defense gets better. Because I also think we're looking at a guy that likely will be delegating a lot of responsibilities as head coach. And you're hoping that he can be some sort of Mike Vrabel type. But you need a good offensive coordinator. You're probably going to need to have some good defensive coordinator as well. I'm sure he'll be able to handpick that from the San Francisco 49ers staff. But is he going to be able to find an offensive coach? And look,
it's worth saying this is a very fan servicey move. It's not to say that it's going to end in disaster. All I'm saying is this is a guy who played for the organization before, and for a team that clearly is listening a lot more than they've ever listened, to hire this guy makes a lot of people happy in March, February, April. I don't know why I did the months in the wrong order, but you get what I'm saying here. This is something that makes people excited leading up to the start of the year. And the Texans, I think, at this point in time, are just as much about that, rehabilitating their image, as they are about like finding truly the best head coach. Like, that is a factor that has to do with what they do at head coach, and it's a factor that has to do with what they do with that number two overall pick. Or, if as reported by Warren Sapp, and I say that in extreme quotation marks, they try to trade up into that number one pick, like, that is a factor in some of their decisions. And for some, that might be annoying. I'm a little annoyed by it myself, but I get why they're there, and I don't entirely blame them for operating that way.
Yeah, see, that's the part that I really have issue with, is the fact that D'Amico Ryans was seemingly the number one option because he's D'Amico Ryans. It's like, okay. Like, if D'Amico Ryans just chose the Denver job, like, who are we hiring then? Like, Daniel Manning? Like, are we like,
Andre Johnson, bring him back.
Who's next? Brian Cushing. Like, what are we, like, that's the part that always rubs me the wrong way. When you go, it's like a college team trying to hire the, you know, the alma mater kind of thing, where it's like, don't do that.
But, Sean, had D'Amico Ryans said, I'm going to take the Denver job over the weekend,
people have been jumping out of buildings.
Right. People would be losing their mind here. So I do think you should keep the same energy. If they hire Ryans, the people out there who would have jumped out of buildings because you're almost looking for something to get mad at the Texans about. There are a lot of people out there who are just looking for things to get mad at the organization about. You should feel pretty happy about them hiring him. My skepticism is that they are looking at this from a public relations perspective because of their self-awareness, which only came to be within the last 2 years. And to their credit, it's good that they're self-aware. It took way too long, but it's good that they're self-aware. Just remember that this is not the best way to make decisions, is by doing the things that are going to make everyone love you. Because it's really about what the coach is going to be doing come September. But this will earn them a lot of cool points, brownie points, over the course of the offseason if they are officially able to bring D'Amico Ryans in. And it does feel like things are trending that way. Do you have a couple of comments on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston? This one comes from our buddy Not Santa on Twitter. How excited is Paul Gallant for Philly to be in position to lose their third championship game / series in a matter of 3 months? I don't know who I'm rooting for in this game. I haven't really made up my mind yet. I'm getting a little bit annoyed with Kansas City Chiefs fans kissing their own ass right now and smelling their own farts. And yeah, that's saying something, because you know how half of my family is from Philadelphia and they're insufferable asshats at times when it comes to the Eagles. My stepdad isn't. My stepdad's a good Eagles fan. But there are many bad Eagles fans out there. And I don't know. Here's a text that we got in earlier. As a Chiefs fan, Arrowhead is a very, very special place. And us Kansas City fans are built different. Most passionate fan base in the NFL. Like, you sound like a St. Louis Cardinals fan. Are all people from Missouri like this? Chiefs fans, former Rams fans / Cardinals fans, are the only cool people in Missouri the people from the hit Netflix television show Ozark? Like, are those the only, like, down-to-earth, not talking about how there's such great Midwesterners fan base in the entire state of that place? People in the state, in that entire state?
So you're saying the only cool people are they're drug dealers, right?
Yes, money laundering drug dealers.
So you're saying those are the best Missourians?
Well, yeah, because they don't front.
They're too busy out there. They have too much money to launder to be about Midwestern values.
Yeah,
are they the Midwest?
Yes, they are the Midwest, but no state loves to brag about being in the Midwest like Missouri.
Mm.
Seriously, it's Missouri.
Indiana loves some Indiana.
But Indiana loves Indiana. Missouri's like, we are what the Midwest hopes to be. Illinois is like, we got Chicago. We know what we are. We know what we are.
We have Chicago and farmland.
I think most of the Midwest knows who it is. But Missouri holds itself up on this, like, elevated stature. And I'm just wondering why. The best city in your state is named after another state. Sorry to sound like the Cincinnati mayor here, but it is what it is. Speaking of, some takes don't age well, but this message by the mayor of Cincinnati is perhaps the funniest thing that you're going to see, given how badly it blew up in his face. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're locked in with the Paul Galacho on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A text and a Twitch comment, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, because I think we should root for Philadelphians in the Super Bowl, because Philly knows what it is. They don't hide who they are. You know, they grease the poles up for the inevitable celebrations. The fans climb up the poles. The fans throw batteries at small children. Like, they never will hide who they are. Where I find Chiefs fans and Cardinals fans and just the entire state of Missouri as a whole to be a tad insufferable in how much they're the best fans that there are. We uphold Midwestern values. Todd the Show commented, driving through Missouri scares me. All the you are going to hell signs are intimidating. Didn't know that. I don't think I'm ever going to drive through Missouri, personally. That's a me thing. Unless I'm driving through the Ozarks, which are apparently wonderful. The TV show, yeah, makes it a little intimidating. For whatever reason, there's like this filter over the camera and everything seems exceptionally dark. But I don't know. Marty Bird, I might come to your casino someday. Cincinnati is not really in the Midwest. Cincinnati is essentially on the border of Kentucky. I feel like Kentucky claims Cincinnati just as much as Ohio does. It's an interesting place. West Virginia might even claim Cincinnati, if we're being perfectly honest. Anyway, the mayor of Cincinnati is not what Wikipedia lists him currently as, because you can change a definition. His name is not Jabroni, but we'll get to that in a moment. Cincinnati Mayor Aftab Puraval had this to say about Patrick Mahomes leading up to the AFC Championship game. I believe this was released on Friday. Here is the mayor of Cincinnati.
Good afternoon, Cincinnati. I have a proclamation from the desk of the mayor. Be it proclaimed, whereas the Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Burrowhead Stadium for their second consecutive AFC Championship game. Whereas at last year's game, the Bengals scored more points than the Chiefs, resulting in a Bengals victory and a Chiefs loss. Whereas Joseph Lee Burrow, who's 3-0 against Mahomes, has been asked by officials to take a paternity test, confirming whether or not he's his father. Whereas all season long, Cincinnati has been on a path of destiny, fighting it out to overcome anyone who stands between them and a Super Bowl win. And whereas Kansas City is named after its neighboring state, which is, you know, just kind of weird. Now, therefore, I, Aftab Puraval, mayor of the city of Cincinnati, do hereby proclaim January 29th, 2023, as They Gotta Play Us Day in Cincinnati. Thank you.
Politicians ruin everything, don't they? If the Chiefs were motivated by this, again, good on them. Burrowhead.
He said the word.
Was also uttered by him. It was, Sean, you're right. And maybe that made everything really balloon when it comes to all of the feels the Chiefs had hearing that slur uttered about their stadium. But after the game, Travis Kelce, who honestly sounded like he had perhaps had a bottle of MD 2020 right after the game was done, because he got rather lit sounding very quickly, had this to say to the mayor of Cincinnati, Aftab Pureval.
Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni.
Jabroni needs to come back. It's a great word. I actually felt Kelce nailed that one. The other one where he steals the microphone away from Patrick Mahomes while Mahomes is thanking God. And he goes like, woo! It's like, all right, you're trying a little bit too hard to be a wrestler here. But that was quick, short, simple, sweet, to the point.
To be fair, this is a rock line.
It is?
Yeah, from his WWE days.
Oh, he stole it?
Yeah. That literally is from the WWE.
Okay, so he's...
Or WWF, probably.
Jabroni, I remember The Rock said that a lot. Yeah. And I know that I ironically started saying that at some point in college, and it stuck with me for a while. And then I tried to say it on the air here a couple of times, and people were like, what? Huh? What are you talking about? And I was like, okay, well, I guess this reference doesn't work anymore. I guess it's too dated or something. But Travis Kelce stepping in there to step all over the mayor was needed. Mayors need to shut up. Politicians need to shut up about sports. Every single time they step in, you can always tell, like, oh, this guy's a nerd and he's trying to get some clout. He is.
That guy did sound like a nerd.
Just, he looked like a nerd because he is a nerd. He's a politician. They all are. I know that you could probably point to some and say, well, that person's actually a man's man. You don't see many Mike Vrabels as politicians these days. Where are the meathead politicians? What happened to them?
Speaking of, I think, let me look it up, but I think the wrestler Kane is a mayor somewhere in, I think, Georgia or Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I assume he's a meathead because he was the wrestler Kane in WWE. He was the Undertaker's brother, so.
Well, yeah, I trust that man as a leader. I want to have somebody who would seem like he could do battle with the leader of another tribal clan or something like that. Oh, boy. Well, there you go. As far as the NFC Championship game, a lot has been made of the shove out of bounds that was just an unnecessary roughness, not a roughing the passer. It's the same thing. You roughing the passer, unnecessary roughness. Quarterbacks are handled a lot differently. If that was a running back in that situation, I do not think that that would have been called at the end of the game between the Bengals and the Chiefs. It's a penalty by letter of the law, but there's a lot of people out there that are very gung-ho about following rules that are stupid. But in the NFC Championship game, we saw some awful refereeing. And I feel like the refs actually were a storyline from this weekend, which is a shame. Not just because of what happened at the very end of the Chiefs-Bengals game. That was a soft way to end the game. No. Third down, the Bengals stopped the Chiefs. But the refs forgot what was happening, so they had to replay the down, and the Chiefs got a first down right after it happened. This is how that call sounded on CBS with, I'm sure, just absolutely riveting insight from Tony Romo.
Let's give Mahomes another opportunity. That seems like you're not looking forward to that.
Let's see what happens with it. Mahomes is down at the 24. P.J. Hill, there is a flag, though, in the secondary near midfield.
You can't give him another chance. It's going to be a hold on Eli Apple, 20. He was holding downfield on Scantling.
Holding. Defense number 20, five-yard penalty. Automatic first down.
Oh, my goodness. This is so incredibly crazy right there, what just happened.
What bothers me about Romo there is he didn't say that's an absolute bleep up by the refs. You know who would have? Tony Romo. Or not Tony Romo. Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman would have destroyed that. Joe Buck would have destroyed that. Jim Nance is not one to step on the refs. He doesn't do it. He'll ask questions and he'll let somebody else take it away there. Romo should have crushed the refs there. That was awful. That was an awful moment. And again, it didn't ultimately cost the Bengals because the Bengals did eventually get a stop on that drive. But that moment in time where a play just gets stopped, even though it was allowed to be played to completion, was one of a couple of moments over the course of the weekend when you're thinking to yourself, wait, what? Let's go to the NFC Championship game at the very beginning. I don't know if this changed is the way that the game actually went, but on a fourth down play, Jalen Hurts throws it up, and then Devontae Smith looks to have made an incredible catch. An absolutely incredible catch. And something that we have actually seen this season take place a couple of times is that now the league office will see something that could be reviewed right away, overturned right away, pick it up, and quickly change a call. But because there was no effort by the league to do it, and because Devontae Smith was smart in telling his Eagles teammates, hey, let's line up and run the next play so that Kyle Shanahan couldn't get a challenge in time, and because on the replay, Kyle Shanahan didn't have an angle that showed that the ball hit the ground on that fourth down, the Eagles end up keeping that first down. That moment right there was a big mess up by the refs. The next mess up happened not that long later. Brock Purdy gets sacked. It looks like his arm is going forward and the ball was an incomplete pass. It had the most ridiculous arc ever. And they blew the play dead even though there was a clear recovery. They should have let the thing play out. Is it a fumble? Is it an incomplete pass? I don't know. How about you let it play out? Because that could have been a touchdown for Philadelphia right there. But they didn't let it play out. So you have that. And then we go to the call where Patrick Mahomes is out of bounds, gets shoved in the back. It's called roughing. On that play, there is a clear hold by the Chiefs. A clear hold. Again, I don't know that that's the reason that Kansas City won definitively. There were other opportunities that Kansas City had and took advantage of and that Cincinnati could have had and didn't take advantage of. I don't like to make the last call of a game the reason that a game went down the way that it did. There are a variety of other factors that led a situation to that point. But at the same time, the refs, I thought, did a very poor job in this game. A pool reporter was asked to ask this referee, hey, like, what the hell happened on that play where you had to stop it? And the guy gave it a very long, drawn-out explanation that really doesn't make you feel any better about the refereeing. These were supposed to be the refs this weekend who were going to sit back and not make calls, but to sit back and miss calls that we all can see on television. I know it's a hard job to be a referee. It was bad, and it definitely makes you feel a lot less confident in referees going forward in this league. Paul Galacho, ESPN, 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. The question of today's show is this. Your opinion of the Houston Texans will go from blank to blank if they officially hire DeMeco Ryans as their head coach. Paul Galacho, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call and to text in as well. You can join us on Twitch too. Twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5. You will go from blank to blank if the Houston Texans close things out the way it seems like they're about to and hire former Texans linebacker, San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator, DeMeco Ryans to be their next head coach. Largo Bot gives the response that I expected from many on the Twitch. I'd go from don't care to don't care if they hire DeMeco Ryans. I don't think that's fair. I don't. Doesn't make a move at all? Are you just dead inside? And I look, there's a lot of Texas fans where I would understand if you're dead inside. But nothing? Not a little bit of excitement over it? There should be some. Come on. I don't know that it would work out either. But I'm surprised by some of the reactions. I think it's just because our Twitch is, and we love them, but they're a little toxic. a little angry. Somebody else on the Twitch said, like, I can't believe the Texans think this would be a good hire to hire DeMeco Ryans. I don't know how we can have concrete opinions on who will work out and who won't work out. What I do know is this feels like fan service, and that might not be the best idea in the world, but then realize that this organization has literally lost a lot of support, if not all support, from its fan base over the last couple of years. So hiring a former player to be head coach who was liked, a former good player who was liked, not a, you know, Ring of Honor caliber player, but like maybe like two tiers beneath that, and drafting a quarterback. These are the moves that a team makes when they realize that they have lost their audience. They have lost their customers. They are listening. They are trying. That deserves some credit. Doesn't mean this is going to work out, and it also could perhaps backfire. That's the only negative thing, though, that I can think about when it comes to the Texans potentially hiring DeMeco Ryans.
To be fair, there are people on the Twitch that, like, if the Texans hired, like, Bill Belichick, they'd be like, meh, sucks.
Yeah.
The Patriots, the more Patriots stuff.
Sean Payton? Are you kidding me? Stupid.
What has he ever won? He's never won anything without Breeze.
He hasn't won anything in a decade plus. He was working with one of the best organizations in the NFL. Oh, he comes here. What? It's going to work out there? System coach.
Of course he succeeded with the New Orleans Saints. Everyone does.
Yeah, the Saints have always been good. Man, these simps right here. They want DeMeco Ryans. They want Sean Payton. Let me tell you about... And then they like bring up some random candidate that you've never heard of before. I really do wish that it was easy to determine whether or not a head coach will actually be good. We don't have much to go off of. And I do understand why there might be a little bit of pushback with DeMeco Ryans, but it really has to do with it just feels like the Texans are doing something to make people happy. They're brown-nosing a little bit. Hey, here's a present. It's buying a gift for your ex-wife, right? I haven't been married before, but it's essentially the same thing. You have lost this person to the point of it's going to be really hard to get him back. So you're trying to get them something awesome. What would this be like? Buying your ex-wife a car or something like that? Hey, honey, want this Tesla? That's what it is. It's not bad. That's how you win people back. Generally, you do something for them. Apologizing isn't enough. You can't just say, we're sorry. We're so sorry, like your BP after the oil spill in the Gulf. We're so sorry. We're sorry. No, you gotta win it back. Can we all agree that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL now, guys? I don't know how many of you guys out there were of the belief that Burrow had overtaken him. I know that the national discourse over the past week made it seem like everybody, in the way that they do things, where you make a straw army, they said that this straw army was claiming that Joe Burrow had surpassed Patrick Mahomes, and a lot of it had to do, I think, with the head-to-head record. But what Mahomes did Sunday, statistically maybe not the most impressive performance you've ever seen, but considering, number one, he was clearly hobbled. And he didn't even take a pain-killing shot before the game. I can't even imagine how much that hurt. Tracy Wolfson, right before kickoff, reported Mahomes did not receive an injection prior to the AFC Championship. She added that Mahomes had treatment for 4 to 5 hours each day since suffering the injury against the Jaguars, that ankle injury. So maybe that's because he had been healed well enough. Still, though, it's the playoffs. I think I would want the pain-killing injection.
I would take one if I was healthy. Just, yeah, numb the pain, because I know it's about to hurt.
Is that an us problem, Sean? Would you be better if you don't get the pain-killing shot? I would assume that if you have an ankle injury and you're putting weight on that to step into a throw or to just run, that you would want that to feel numb as opposed to, all time.
He was hobbling, like, every time he had to, like, take more than 5 steps. After the play, he would have to take 5 steps, he would throw it, and then he would be hopping back to the huddle. I was like, take the shot, dude.
Yeah, you don't need to be Byron Leftwich being carried from the 20-yard line all the way down the field. Though that was one of the most badass things ever.
Yeah, no, that's cool. If you do that, that's cool.
If you break your leg and you play through it, that's cool.
Yeah.
Bring back toxic masculinity,
guys. I feel
guys.
Comfortable saying that it is cool to break your leg and play through it.
Kadarius Toney, he suffered an ankle injury. He didn't come back in the game.
We don't know the severity.
What's
I will
up
not
with that?
Call him uncool.
Listen, I'm just asking the question. What's up with that? Mecole Hardman aggravated his pelvis injury in the game. Ow. Juju Smith-Schuster had a knee injury that he was playing through. So at one point, it was Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Marcus Kemp, and Sky with two Ys, Moore, who had the big punt return that helped set up the eventual Patrick Mahomes scramble, unnecessary roughness, Harrison Butker game-winning field goal. Mahomes did it with no Tyreek Hill, a extremely banged-up wide receiver core, and Travis Kelce, who's great, and he won this game against the Bengals defense with Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator, who's finally getting a look. He is getting an interview, I believe, with the Indianapolis Colts, actually, to be the next head coach. So good for him. He deserved one at some point. I don't know if he's actually going to get that
job. Yeah, I was going to say, he deserves an opportunity to lose his job to Jeff Saturday.
Oh, my gosh.
The one of the best defensive coordinators in the game is going to not be the head coach, and it's going to be a guy who's like 1-9 as a head coach with no prior experience.
Right. Actually, check that. It was the Cardinals. It wasn't the Colts. So still haven't heard anything.
I'm glad I got to slander.
Not Jeff Saturday. You know what? It's good, though. You need to slander. We need to slander the Colts. We have not heard about another coaching candidate for Indianapolis.
What they're doing, imagine if the Texans freaking did this. It would be on every show.
It would be. We all thought that this would happen with Josh McCown this offseason. I actually do think a lot of people were rather unfair. The Texans have changed over the course of the last year plus. Like, phasing Easterby out the way that they did, like, you should have known there that, okay, at the very least, they're not going to do something ridiculous where they hire Josh McCown because Easterby thinks that you should just go against the grain and do something totally different for the sake of being different. Like, that was essentially his rationale behind pushing for Josh McCown. And good thing you should know about Nick Caserio. Caserio was one of the voices that pushed back against Josh McCown. Did he hire Lovie Smith? Did he hire David Culley? Honestly, I can't say. All I know is he pushed back against Josh McCown. He's an okay job with the draft. I don't think it's him. As far as the question of today's show, and you can keep on answering it, you will go from blank to feeling blank if the Texans were to hire D'Amico Ryans. Mega on Twitch says, I would go from I bleeping hate the Texans, all caps, exclamation point to, meh. See, that's good. That's what we're looking for.
That's about where I'm at.
Yeah.
Not that extreme, but I am like, I view them as like in the basement. Now they're like on the ground floor.
Yeah.
They're like now just a normal bad NFL team.
Right, exactly. If they get D'Amico Ryans. And again, not a done deal yet, but by.
God, it'd be so funny if they don't.
Don't put that energy out there,
so
Sean.
Funny.
Sean, we were almost at the finish line. You're doing what everybody's doing online.
You brought it. You're like, well, it's not a done deal. This entire time, I just assumed it was a done deal.
It's not a done deal.
For the first time, I considered like, wow, what if the rich Denver Broncos owners are like, how about $30 million a year to be our coach? And then now the Texans have to go back to Shane Steichen.
You're the one that's putting this out there.
No.
I did it. I didn't. This is not me. That is you.
I'm just saying, what if? Just
What if? Just
live in the world of, like, we're starting the show the day after D'Amico Ryans is introduced as the Denver Broncos.
Sean, I can't. I tweeted about this over the weekend. Some of the absolute meows on Twitter that were like, oh my God, what if the Texans don't get D'Amico Ryans? I'm going to be sad.
I'm not doing I'm going to be sad. There were
people saying that, and it was outrageous, the amount of people. I actually started, I had a couple of drinks on Friday, and I just started tweeting, like, how about they hire Pep Hamilton just to piss those people off? It's crazy.
What if they don't hire D'Amico Ryans? I'm going to kill myself.
Like, they're probably going to be bad even if they do hire him. This is going to be a process. And you guys are like so absolutely certain that this guy's going to be a great head coach. I'm not even saying he won't. I'm excited by the news. But some of the people that are like weighing in on this, you have such a warped, depressed outlook on this. This job, it wasn't the worst job available. And you're all like, they're so bad. Like you're freaking Eeyore. Relax.
Can I be honest?
Yeah?
Now I kind of want D'Amico Ryans to not be the Texans coach.
You're such a bastard. The Paul Gallant Show, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
From the sound of things, the Houston Texans could hire D'Amico Ryans to be their next head coach as soon as tomorrow. From Ian Rappaport this morning, they could meet this afternoon, the Texans and Ryans, after he handles his San Francisco responsibilities. If all goes well, a hire could be finalized tomorrow or Wednesday. Their top candidate all along, D'Amico Ryans, apparently. It appears a homecoming is on its way to happening. It does feel rather fan servicey, but there are reasons to be excited about it. The question of today's show, you will go from feeling blank to feeling blank if the Houston Texans complete the hiring. A texter, I would go from not even turning on the television during their games to letting them play in the background. Okay. Another texter, I would go from I don't give a bleep to feeling like I still don't give a bleep. So there's a lot of this indifference, but here's what I actually think. And it goes to what Sean was saying in the last segment. Sean Mapes behind the glass doesn't want D'Amico Ryans here on the record.
I think it would be funny if he wasn't here after all this.
So you don't want him here.
I'm good with either one, to be honest. I always win. Because if D'Amico Ryans spurns the Texans, that'd be just too hilarious. It would just be, just the fallout would be hilarious. And then the like follow up tweet of like, now the Texans basically have to restart their search and they're flying out to go meet with Jason Garrett. And, you know, that would just be, oh man.
You're like so many Houston Texans fans out there. Can we all be honest? If you are a Houston Texans fan listening right now, can we be honest? I mean, you're probably a masochist. You want them to be bad still, don't you? Don't you? I think there's enough people out there, Sean, that secretly they're such miserable fans. And I don't, by the way, it's totally understandable. They're such miserable. This is all they know and this is all they want. They want it to keep going. You know, it's like part of their identity. This just deep, rotting stench of Texans football every single Sunday. You know, a big old fart in a jar wafting into your nostrils. You secretly love it.
I don't even really want them to be bad. I don't really care either way. I just want the, like you're talking about, the Twitter meltdown. I just want the meltdown.
Yes, because you're miserable, Sean.
Well, yeah, but not because of the Texans.
Yeah, you are a fan of this misery just lingering in the air like a dense fog. You want it, and some of you people listening right now, you want it too, and you have no shame.
The thing is, the D'Amico, actually hiring D'Amico Ryans just doesn't get my blood, you know, pumping. But then, like, the idea,
it should.
Why?
It should.
No one knows if he's
going to
be a good coach. Yes. You said it yourself. No one knows.
It should get your blood pumping a little bit.
Oh, just because he was on the Texans when I was a kid, I should love this hire. That's stupid.
You're allowed to love it for a moment.
I don't.
People are all so miserable. You're a bunch of trash can living Oscars, and it's appropriate that this segment is garbage time. You people, you sit in your trash can and you fester and you. You really just want the team to continue to suck because you like the repetition of this sitcom. You people, there's enough of you out there. This is not the majority, but there's enough people out there. You love that this team stinks. You love it because you don't know anything else and you want it to keep going.
What I will say is that it's more entertaining when they're an absolute clown show disaster than when they go 8-8 and win the division. And then you have a very clear ceiling on, well, you're not going to win anything, so congrats. But just grinding your way to 9-7 division titles, meh.
Listen.
Being an absolute clown show, just like everyone being like, oh my God, they didn't get D'Amico Ryan. What are they going to do now?
Those were decent seasons. I know people get worked up about it, but like, can we pause for a moment? Imagine you miserable person, sticking your nose up. No, everybody. You sticking your nose up at an AFC South. Just imagine that.
It's because those seasons came with like, cool, we won the AFC South, and so now we're going to get dog-walked by the Patriots or the Ravens or any of the real playoff
teams. It's better
than
where we're at right now, and you guys are like, oh, this is terrible. Oh, I deserve better. I know what better football is. I know for sure.
Yeah, I watch every other team play it.
It's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Some of you people, I just think you want to remain miserable at all times. There's someone out there right now who's like, I hope they mess this up at the last meeting.
The thing is, this wouldn't make me miserable. It'd make everyone else miserable. And I want everyone else to be miserable.
Whatever you got to tell
yourself.
Which
is even more pathetic.
This is positive news. And of course, this is where it goes because of you miserable people like Sean.
It took an hour and 45 minutes for me to get to that point.
Well, yeah, you said it's Sean Mapes in the last segment, guys. This is what jump-started this. He's like, yeah, I kind of hope that they messed this up.
Well, because you're talking about how people would flip out if they don't hire him. And then that got me thinking, that is funny.
They will.
Yeah, and I want that. I don't want the, this is a great hire. Things are blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Give me a disaster where they win 4 games. Instead of we're heading the right direction, they win 6 games. Who cares?
You're the absolute worst. It's good to win games.
Nah.
You people, oh man. Oh, they won a game and now they're not gonna have the #1 overall draft pick. Oh good. They can't draft the quarterback who's smaller than Paul Gallant. Oh no. Like you're just always miserable people. Jeez. Have a drink. Yeah, it's 11:54. Maybe it's a little too early. Hey, the Empire State Building's being a slut, guys. And sorry to slut shame, but the Empire State Building, after the Eagles won the NFC Championship, said, hi, everybody. We are showing Philadelphia Eagles colors tonight. Excuse you. Far be it from me to step up for New York, which I thought was a great sports town, but this is an abomination. You're lighting up for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Giants play in your city. Yeah, sure, there's some Philadelphians that maybe live in some proximity to New York City. This is one of the worst things that's ever been done by a sports city that's supposedly a good sports town. No one in Boston would ever do this. No one in Philly would ever do this if it was a New York team that won.
They beat the Giants a week ago. It wasn't even like, oh, they didn't really play the Giants. It's like, no, they beat them.
Seriously?
A week ago.
Seriously? This is one of the worst displays I've ever seen. And I feel like we have to reevaluate New York's place as a sports town. Also, there is a video going viral of somebody who could be the next Houston Astros catcher. He's a high school catcher from Uganda. He's gone viral because he is doing these training exercises where he catches a baseball with like a piece of paper on his hand, all the while having bricks thrown at him. His name is Kasumba Dennis. I will retweet this at Galan Says. This guy is, I think, running a bit, I don't think he believes this is actually going to help him get a baseball tryout, but could he be the next Martin Maldonado? I don't know. The guy seems tough. There is a video of him taking tires, like giant tires, that you would see on one of those souped up like F-150s that really wants everyone to know that they can go off-road. Like, he's having tires wheeled at him and bricks thrown at him, and he doesn't even have a catcher's mitt. But he does have catching equipment. You should check it out. Maybe that will solve the Astros' catching depth situation. This has been the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Negative Nancy himself, Sean Mapes, behind the glass, and to all of our callers and texters and Twitchers. We'll see what happens with D'Amico Ryans. Make sure you stay tuned to the Killer Bees up next, because we might hear about that Texans meeting between them and D'Amico Ryans, which could be taking place as early as this afternoon. So Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham will have you covered with that. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. Peace!
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.